We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, for the sixth time in eight seasons, the Golden State Warriors are going back to the NBA Finals. 112-110 over the Dallas Mavericks. Five games, make work of it. And you know what? We could talk about tonight's game, but right now, all I can think about is in context of everything this team has been through, Klay going through two of the most gruesome injuries you can think of, losing majority of their roster to retirement and free agency, Steph breaking his hand, Draymond having injuries of his own, and kind of falling to the bottom to get back to the mountaintop, six finals in 8 years. Special group.
Special group, special leader, special Draymond, Steph, Klay. I think we should spend a lot of time on those three guys, but I think the main thing, as you brought up, the trek back up the mountaintop was tough, right? And I think that's what would make this more fulfilling. I think if the Warriors, you know, if this happened in 2019, I think they're happy, but they're not like this. Sam, I think Klay was crying. Right. When they interviewed him at the end, I think that's why he stepped away. I think this is how much it means to not just Klay, but to everyone else in the organization. It's different, I think, compared to pretty much any basketball team that we've seen now in the past decade, because there's no basketball team like the Warriors where they play together. They grew up together. They've been through the highs. They've been through the lows. And the thing is, now they're back up on the high. Right. And it's different. Right. It's different from just any other team that just puts some random stuff together and tries to figure out in a scene or two, and then it goes away. This almost feels like it's like a TV show that's gone eight seasons, right? Like, there's this payoff now that's happening, and I think you saw it in the emotion, man. I really think those guys, they didn't win a championship. They still got four to go, but it felt like they crested a mountaintop tonight, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of at a loss for words at times going through it. It's, you think about all the things they've been through. You think about the doubts along the ways. Like, personally, look, man, we pod a lot. There were many points between 2019 and today where I doubted if they could get back to this point, wondering what they were doing. We're not going to call out players who've been on this roster, but, like, you know, at certain points in, like, the 2020-21 season, I'm looking at this, I'm like, dude, who are these guys? And everyone nationally bringing up, they're never getting back. It's over. Done. They had a nice run. It was over. All those things. And you know what? I just have to tip my cap to – let's start with the three most important people to this: Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, but also to Steve Kerr and the coaching staff, and
yes, sir,
management and ownership and all the people who are kind of involved in rebuilding it. Like, any way you want to slice it, it's hard to win, to get to the top, it's harder to do it a second time. After you're older, you're beaten down, all those things happen to you. You know, the only teams who do it multiple times like this are the immortal teams, the teams that people talk about 30 years later, the Chicago Bulls, like the Jordan Bulls, Kobe's Lakers, Magic, like teams like that.
Tim Duncan, right?
Yeah, exactly. Tim Duncan and the Spurs. Like, it is the most rarefied of air that they have a chance to put them. They're already better than most teams for even getting back here. They win, and they win another title. They compete for more championships on the second half. They are an untouchable, like, they're already a dynasty who's going to be remembered in NBA history. They will go down as one of the greatest sports teams of all time for doing all this.
I 100% agree. And you and I, like you said, we did not see this coming. I think the most realistic, even the happiest Warriors fans did not really see this coming. The Warriors were going to be good going into the season, but an NBA Finals appearance was, that's crazy, right? Especially with Klay coming off that injury. I'm with you. They figure this out and they win this and they pull this off. They are immortalized, essentially, for the rest of eternity. And that goes for every. And isn't that the cool part about the Warriors? When you talk about the Warriors, it's not just Steph Curry. I mean, a lot of it is Steph Curry, but it's not just Steph Curry. It's Klay Thompson coming back. They needed him. It's Draymond Green defensively. It's Steve Kerr, the guy that came in and implemented the offense and defense. It's Joe Lacob willing to spend money. I mean, they pay the most tax in the NBA right now. And then it's everyone else, right? It's the development coaching staff. Jordan Poole was great tonight. Yeah. And Moses Moody was good tonight. And Kevon, come on, 10 minutes and we'd even talk Kevon Looney. Incredible.
Robbed of the conference finals MVP.
If it didn't go to Steph, I wanted it to go to Looney. Just to be honest, if it wasn't Steph, I really wanted to go to Looney.
Looney would have been the only player to win it where I wouldn't have, like, gotten kind of salty for Steph. You know, I would just be like, well, yeah, it's Looney. You know,
and that's a guy that's isn't his kind of his career kind of mirror the Warriors in these last few years where he came in, he was a draft pick, but just constantly injured, had to fight his way back, and now you see him at the top. And now Kevon Looney's going to be – he's closing out a Western Conference Finals game at home. And one of the main reasons why Klay makes threes and one of the reasons why the Mavs can't just torch the Warriors on the perimeter. It's just, man, incredible.
So let's get into it a little bit. Let's talk about this game here. I kind of feel like this game in many ways kind of exemplifies the Warriors because Steph – rolls his ankle early in it, and you can tell it was bothering him most of the game because he kind of took more of a playmaking role than being aggressive, trying to score the ball. But it doesn't matter because they, for lack of a better word, they are a team. It, you know, tonight was Klay's night to be the offensive fire torch, and he lit it up 32 points. Shout out Klay for being like, I left a couple on the table there. Like, it's such a Klay Thompson thing to say. He's not wrong. He missed a few couple open looks. He could have had 40. It was one of those type of nights for him. You know, Looney, 18 rebounds, just kind of filling in every gap needed. Draymond, the much aligned, like, is he going to shoot the ball?
You made a quarter three. Five. I don't even know how.
17 points. And then to your point, Wiggins. Wiggins, a player who would not be on this team if management was not willing to pay extra luxury tax, because let's just be real, his contract is what it is. Wiggins has had a phenomenal postseason run the entire way, stamped with this game another 18 and 10 for him, and just kind of Wiggins, one of those guys who I feel like continually makes a big play when you need it for this team and is doing stuff that, like, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't think, you know, he I thought he was good for this team last year. I did not see him taking this next step for them. And it speaks to everything they've built where it's just, it's sticking true to who they are and being about it and sticking with it the whole way through.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, we talked about Looney as an example. Let's talk about Wiggins as an example for this franchise's success. And now this is Steph and everyone, right? Steve Kerr, everyone is they took a gamble on Wiggins when they didn't have to. Andrew Wiggins, before he went to the Warriors, was the worst contract in the NBA. And a lot of this is also Andrew Wiggins. Yeah, a joke, right? And a lot of this is Andrew Wiggins accepting who he can be, and now he's amazing. They can't win without him on the floor right now. It's simple as that. So a lot of it is him, and a lot of it is, I think, for the Warriors, they build a system that tries to make you the best player that you can be. And if you're going to be willing to accept that, like Andrew Wiggins has, you're going to have a career now that I think a second stage of Andrew Wiggins' career, where he essentially turned his entire basketball playing career around to, he's not a punchline anymore, man. Like, he's the reason why Luka struggled tonight. He's guarding the guy full court for five straight games, Sam. That's insane. How's he not tired? Right. So this is, I think, a testament to that.
2 years ago, Warriors never getting back to the finals. Wiggins, what are you doing acquiring him? He sucks. Today, I log on and I'm reading about these teams who are eyeing Wiggins in free agency. You know what I mean? Like, and we're not talking about that, but like, it speaks to the fact that he went from a guy that was universally kind of, you know, a punchline to now everyone's like, yeah, dude, if we could just get Wiggins to complete our, you know, to be the guy on our team. And that just speaks to who the Warriors are more than anything. You know, it's like he went from being a guy that you know, it's like we're acquiring him to be a contract piece to get a star to like,
right.
You know, like I hope they can keep him because
he better not go anywhere.
He
better not go anywhere because he was for a long time the second most consistent and best player for this team this run. And I think he's one of the reasons why Klay and Draymond can have bad games. Because we've seen Klay and Draymond have bad games this postseason, especially in this series, but the Warriors can survive that now. And a lot of this conversation around Steph Curry and everybody else in the NBA, you see the difference. For other teams, it's like, Luka's amazing at this, but when he's bad, it's, oh my God, Luka has no help. He has to have these guys make 23s. But with the Warriors, that's never the conversation, and there's a reason for that, right, Sam? It's because this is an actual team. And that's why people love watching this team, not just Warriors fans. It's in the ratings. People love watching the Warriors. They're an actual team that people grew up on, that people care about. And the conversation is never, if Steph plays bad, oh my God, Klay sucks, right? Klay has to show up. It's never that with this team. It's they can just play better together because that's what the sport is about. I feel like the last 6-7 years, this sport became some type of martyr ball type of like, if he doesn't play well, then fuck his teammates kind of thing, right? Like, that's not how the Warriors are. I think that's cool. We don't see that with anyone else in the NBA.
Let's be real. That's not what basketball is about. We all grew up playing basketball. It was weird to see the sport of basketball turn into this, quote-unquote, like, he's the star. His teammates must surface him. When, like, every basketball team on every level is mostly about how can the best player, in the worst case, Steph Curry, get the most out of his teammates. I feel like that has been lost a little bit over the last years. And I feel like with the Warriors winning and getting back to the finals this year, we can have that discussion. Like, the Warriors, as you said, are a true team. And it comes down to the fact that they all make each other better. You know?
Yes.
They do. It starts with Steph. It'll always start with Steph. Newsflash, all teams always start with the best player. Like, there's no way around that. But it starts with him sacrificing, and that leads to Klay and Draymond sacrificing. It leads to Wiggins buying in and sacrificing and becoming a player that, you know, people didn't think he was in Minnesota. People thought he was lazy in Minnesota. Turns out that was an incorrect assessment of it.
The opposite.
It's an unfair assessment of him. We can go down the line in this game. Bielitsa.
Oh, my God.
Who'd been up and down all year. He'd had his moments, but he had a lot of down moments too. Amazing game. Gave him great minutes. Another player bought into the team. No one's throwing him under the bus when he has bad games. There's a level of, we're going to need him at some point. And what does he do? I mean, this was his best game of the season when you consider the stakes of it.
Of the season, of his career. Of his career, Sam. Of his career.
Definitely the most important game of his NBA career. He's had better games statistically, but like in terms of impact in a moment that matters, Bielitsa was a vital contributor to the closeout game of a Western Conference Finals. Would you have seen that coming in the preseason?
No! Better yet, would you have seen Bielitsa guarding Luka Doncic straight up and stopping him every single time with a NBA Finals berth on the line?
No. You told me that in the preseason. I'd be like, well, if you told me that in the preseason, I'd be like, well, you know, we can talk about what they need in the offseason. You know, like, it's like, I wouldn't have seen that coming, but it speaks to the overwhelming thing, which is they're a full team. They came together. And when you're a team, those things, they tend to happen a little easier. We've gotten this far into it. We're not talking about Moses Moody. Moses Moody didn't even play in the first two series because of injury, because of whatever. Ended up being a vital rotation piece for this team in this series, and he played excellent. He played excellent for them.
This team is an actual team, and I think that's the part that's the coolest about the Warriors. Moses Moody tonight with what he can do as a rookie, right? As a rookie, given the opportunity, and I know you and I sit here and I get frustrated with Steve Kerr kind of going down his bench and playing everyone, but he's right, right? And Steve Kerr, I mean, we talk about the urgency that he's had with this playoffs. He's also kind of relented that down the stretch, and he's saying, look, I have no choice. The entire bench is in street clothes. We've got to trust our guys. I can't just run people out ragged. And let's just – he started with giving Moody a couple minutes, right? Same thing with Pelly. Gave him a couple minutes, 5 minutes, and said, if you're going to be bad, I won't play you, like with Damian Lee, like JT. If you're going to be bad, I won't play you. But if you're going to be good, we're going to give you an extra chance. And I just think that's fundamentally so much different than other teams. Like with the Mavs, if I were Jason Kidd, if Steve Kerr was coaching that team, wouldn't you think like Marquese Chris would have gotten minutes, right? Dwight Powell was atrocious, right? Like just give him a shot. And I think that's keeping everyone thinking, I think making fun of Steve Kerr is pretty easy. It's their strength in numbers and all of that. But man, that's what makes this team so cool. It just makes it so much different. And then I think the final thing with the team part for me is the offense. It's the system. And you and I always talk about how they need to run more pick and roll. And we always are going to say that. They went only up 10 into the fourth quarter. And Steve Kerr in the interview said, hey, we got to pass the ball more. And you know what they did? Klay stopped taking bad shots. Went to the hole, passed the ball, and this team blew him out in the fourth. And I think nobody plays like that, right? We're gonna go see Boston and Miami tomorrow, man. They play some terrible offensive basketball. I guess just
good defensive teams, not the prettiest watch on offense. You're correct. Let's give Kerr some credit right now. I think the most impressive thing for me with Steve Kerr is after last season, he was willing to acknowledge it's time to make some changes, and he did it. And this year's team from day one was a little more experimental than his teams in the past, starting with the fact that they play more zone defenses than I've ever seen them play at any point in the first 7 years of Kerr's coaching. They run more lineup combinations than I've ever seen them run. They run a lot of the same stuff on offense, but there's a little more pick and roll. There's a little more kind of pick on the worst defender going on. There was like adaptation there. And to me, you could expect a coach as accomplished as him to maybe not want to make changes, but no, he did. He did. He grew. And that's the reason they get back here, because it's easy to talk about the players, but it's also the coaches. The league's always changing. And the minute you're willing to acknowledge that, like, okay, I always have to be open to new ideas, that's how you stay ahead of the curve. And you know what? Steve deserves credit for that.
I mean, it's like a startup that is in the last round of funding, and they got to figure out how to make that extra $150 million, right? They got to change stuff up. You can't just do what was amazing in 2017. Things change. Things change in life. And I think that's what Steve was so great at. I think this season was figuring that out and saying, if we hire the best coaches, and I think this goes for Joe Lacob too. I mean, we haven't even talked about him yet. Maybe not. But like saying, well, let's hire head coaches on the staff. Mike Brown's going to be a head coach. He's already on the staff. Kenny Atkinson, by all intents and purposes, Sam, a head coach.
He was a head coach, and he will be a head coach again. Yes.
Yeah, for the Lakers, maybe. Jamal Mulalela, who they picked up from Toronto, going to be a future head coach, right? They essentially have, and it feels like that 2014-15 team where they had multiple head coaches on that staff. And Steve Kerr can't do it all, but what Steve Kerr has to do is admit that they need to change, and that starts with leadership, and that starts with him. And he's been willing to just be as urgent as possible in this series. I just think the Warriors from before, if they had this series, this series would have gone 6 or 7. I just really feel that way. But because this coaching staff has changed the rotations and changed the defensive schemes and offensive schemes, you had a stat today that you tweeted that the Warriors have run essentially 40% more pick and roll in this series versus ever before. Like that type of stuff right there, that's why they win in 5. Now they get a week off, right? And that's leadership.
I want to talk about one other person, and then we're going to take to the callers. Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole, to me, represents the Warriors' change more than anyone else. Jordan Poole, the first draft pick they had after Kevin Durant left when Klay Thompson tore his knee. Jordan Poole had maybe the worst rookie season I've seen from a player in a very long time, for a player who actually played minutes. And then he kept growing. And he got better, and he got better as the Warriors got better, and they got better. And in many ways, Jordan Poole is the player who exemplifies era 2 of this group more than anyone, because he was the first player brought in. They draft him. Kevin Durant leaves in free agency 2 days later. That first season was rough. That second season showed promise. In that third season, you're like, oh, damn, they're back, you know? And Jordan Poole had an excellent game tonight. He had 16 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. He was 6 of 8. Like, I mean, he's just such a vital part of this team. And to me, he is, you know, this team will always start with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr. But Jordan Poole exemplifies kind of act 2 of this group. And
ooh, I like that.
You know, it is what it is. I think it is important to acknowledge it, because it's a two-way thing. Management found him, and coaching staff developed him, but he also put in the work and became that guy. And none of that's who the Warriors are. It's a two-way street.
Right? I think a lot of it too is Jordan Poole willing to play that style. You're a young kid like that who works that hard, and you know you can average 20-plus points in the NBA for the rest of your career. I think Poole realized that probably last season. I think it's hard for someone like that to play the way the Warriors do, because the Warriors play a very unconventional style. So, like you said, it's going to be an act 2 with Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody moving forward. And I think it's cool to see the leader of that young group buy into the Warriors' way. And again, as I always say, it starts with 30, right? But it also, it's up to Jordan Poole, man. Like, it's up to him to accept that style, because he's going to be good everywhere. He's going to be good everywhere. But maybe you could argue, if he wants to be great, maybe the Warriors are the best place, right? And I think he's going to have a chance here in the NBA Finals to kind of show his stuff. I think this is a different type of organization versus, I think, any NBA team that we've seen since the Spurs, man. Sam, there's no other team. I can't even think of a team that's similar to this outside of the Spurs. There's nothing else in the last decade. No. Plus. Nothing else.
Not at all. Close. Let's take it to the callers.
Take it to the goons.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan, what's up, man?
Just excited, man. We finished it. Poetic for Klay Thompson to be the guy to send us back to the finals after all he's been through. That was awesome to watch. And our offense is much different when Draymond Green looks at the rim. That was fantastic. Moody just getting thrown in a game five of a closeout game and frankly being fantastic was awesome to watch. Yeah, let's load up for Boston. I don't think they can dribble. We're going to have GP2, Otto, and Iggy back by the looks of it from media reporting. So we should be full go. They should be beat up. Let's go win number four. Six finals in 8 years. I will find my way to the Bay for a finals game. Super excited for this.
Ryan, appreciate you, my man. Do we want to talk a little Boston, or are we going to wait?
Nah, let's keep it moving. Yeah, let's wait.
That's what I'm thinking. Tonight feels like a celebration night. Yeah. We will move on the next episode. And then we might have a little surprise one for you in there.
Too. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get to friend of the show, Evan, the creator of NBA Wowie, my guy, Evan Z. What's up, man?
Oh, hey. No, I did it.
What's up, Evan?
How you doing, Evan?
Hey, I wanted to ask, am I actually a friend of the show?
Of course you're a friend of the show.
Oh, okay. I'm a legit friend of the show. Okay.
Yeah, real friend of the show.
You know, you guys are great. I just want to say I listen to, like, religiously to every single podcast. And tonight was the first time I actually was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to call in, or whatever you call this, calling. This is so awesome, man. It's been way too long. I mean, it's been like 3 years, three years. It's crazy.
20 years. It's what it feels like, right?
Oh, we go back, my man.
No. Yeah. I mean, we go back to like the man when the Warriors were actually bad. Right. But,
I feel like that's why you get us, because you and I go back to the pre-Joe Lacob years. So there's a level of like built-in skepticism over everything where it's like, I've seen the promises before.
I mean, dude, there were points where we were talking about like, is Jeremy Tyler the future? We'd have conversations about Charles Jenkins, Mr. Mid-range. But mid-range. this is a whole different thing. I got to see my guy Moody shine. That was just an amazing capper to this whole thing for me. I do have a question for you guys, and then I'll get off the air or whatever people say. Where do we think this team actually would be if we still had D'Lo and that trade hadn't gone down? Does he buy into like what would happen? You know, would he have bought in?
No. No.
And then where would Poole be? You know, you have D'Lo. I mean,
well, I think you nailed it. If they kept, and Evan, I appreciate you calling in. If they kept D'Lo, I think they'd be a playoff team because talent's talent. But like Jordan Poole's a lost cause. They never rediscover their defensive identity. They're just kind of twisting in the wind of waiting on Steph and D'Lo and Clay to be explosive, but not doing anything. Like, Yeah, that's a dark timeline. I don't want to think about that. And then they don't have Kuminga, who's obviously going to be like the next Kawhi
Leonard. By the way, shout out to Evans. He brought this up quickly, but I just wanted to let the listeners know that Moses Moody was his favorite player, essentially, in the last NBA draft. And Moses Moody was the one that made big plays for this team. Not Kuminga, who I love and Sam loves and Warriors fans love, but it was Moses Moody making all the smart plays. Like, he's the one that's 28 years old. Meaning Moses. Like the guy plays like he's 28. It doesn't make any sense. The fact that he doesn't make any mistakes. I don't get it. But he's amazing.
I don't get it either. But we'll keep moving. Let's get to Jack.
Oh, hey. First time, long time, I guess. The last caller just inspired me.
By the way, is that what picture we have here? Is that
that's Andres Torres.
Is that Andres Torres? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, just dressed up like Andres Torres. I grew up like I don't know, in like the purple and orange Warriors era as like a kid then, and just like the evolution of the Warriors to now is still wild to me. Because I remember like the NBA would be on TNT and then there would be Warrior games and they felt like not even the same thing. It felt like you had like the NBA and then you had like the Warriors that you'd be on. And to like, I don't know, to experience the growth, it's just been awesome. I still can't even believe we're here. I guess, I don't know, my question for you guys, like, is this the most strength in numbers team that we've had yet? Like, the other ones have been reliable guys, but this, there's so many different guys that you drop in. You drop in a Bielitsa for a game. You drop in just a Moses Moody who didn't even play for a couple rounds. This one really feels like the numbers are stronger than they've ever been before.
I love this question, Jack. Have a great evening. I love this question. Andy, more strength in numbers, this team or 2015?
2015 by a large margin. They won a championship. That's all that matters.
Let's take the championship out of it now. Because this team hasn't lost a championship yet.
They could be a champion in 2 weeks. Right.
Obviously, it's better to litigate after that. But let's say right now.
I think 2015 is better because Andre Iguodala is better. And there's nobody on this team like that Andre. Leandro Barbosa.
Most space is better than anyone.
I was gonna get there. I will say this though.
I miss most space.
There's Sean Livingston as well, and he was awesome on that team. Leandro Barbosa was that version of Jordan Poole, right? Harrison Barnes, you can bring up, was also extremely solid. So I think that team had better strength in numbers. But I will say this team is pretty damn good defensively. Pretty damn good. There was nothing like, I can't believe I'm gonna say this. There was no Kevon Looney on that team. There's no Kevon.
Andrew Bogut erasure. You're forgetting about my. Yeah, but you didn't need to be as good of a perimeter.
Not back then. You're right. Yeah, you're right. That's a fair point.
I think it's even. I mean, I'm going to hedge this hard. So I'm going to say it's pretty even. I think 2015 undoubtedly was better defensively. They had more veterans who were just defensive players, period. They also didn't have like Clay off of two injuries. They were better defensively. I actually think this team is smarter because the core players are veterans instead of the core players being young guys. In 2015, the core players were young guys and the role players were super sage veterans. In 2021, the core guys are, it's like Spursy. They're super old. They know everything. I mean, they're not that old, but like, you know what I mean? Like, they've been through it all. There's no matchup where I'm like, well, you know, they're going to get outsmarted. You know, like, they're the smartest player on the floor. And the role players are a little younger, a little more explosive. So I think it's honestly, even it's just like two different flavors.
You're right. I mean, it comes down to that core. Go back to the game tonight. Warriors had like 5 turnovers. And you saw Steph. I mean, he did his impersonation of Chris Paul. Essentially, when Steph plays bad, he's Chris Paul. Quote, unquote, bad, I should say, by the way. And Steph was also elite defensively tonight. We didn't see any of the bad turnovers. Same with Draymond. None of the bad turnovers.
By the way, why does Steph not get called the ultimate leader when he plays a floor general game?
The standards for Steph are so high, it's absolutely ridiculous. He only gets compared to 2016 Steph. That's all he gets compared to. That's it.
They will not say he had a good game unless he scores 30.
Yep.
And Chris Paul gets 15 and he's the floor general.
Standards are low for frauds like Chris Paul. And then the final part, I think, is Klay Thompson. I think that's the key tonight, is that we didn't see Klay Thompson take disgusting, terrible shots that we've seen. We saw him when he was covered and it was going to be a bad shot. He either passed it out, took a dribble, took a midi, or passed it and dropped it off to Loon. I think that is the type of maturity this team has. And I think, Sam, like we talked about this, this team came into this postseason, that core three, played 11 minutes together. Like, they're just starting to figure it out now. Pretty good timing.
By the way, if you're watching the postgame show, our guy Luca wearing just an old man sweater, and I think it's hilarious.
He is very fob. He is very fob.
Nice. What club's he hitting up tonight? Is he going to Temple? Is he going to chance he's not going to somewhere with some EDM tonight in San Francisco.
I think he's Halcyon tonight. He's for sure a deep house guy.
JM Stein, my man.
What's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
How's it going?
I want to kind of be clear here. I think what you guys said is kind of the last 5 years of basketball, our stars have been, if I lose, it's my teammates. And Steph has kind of changed it into, I make my teammates better. I think it's just, this pod is just basically a ad for Steph better. Night, guys. Excellent work.
Correct. Gotcha. Correct, JM Stein. We have a brand. We stick to it. we spent a long time earning this brand.
And it ain't stopping.
We're not,
and it ain't going anywhere.
No, it's not stopping. It is what it is. All right, let's get Gio up here. Gio, my man.
Yeah, great day. I mean, great team, just great series, just great like year, like for everybody. I'm happy. I'm glad Klay had this size moment. I'm glad Steph had his moment. I'm glad Draymond are back in the finals again. My question is Steph top 10? Like after this, like is he just top 10 player all time, like level type guy now, officially?
Ooh, we're doing player rankings. So here's how I feel. Can I go first, Andy?
Please.
Yeah, you're like, go first because I don't want to talk about this.
That's exactly how I feel, but yes, go ahead. You know me, so it's exactly how I feel.
There are not 10 players in the NBA who matter more than Steph Curry to the history of the game. Everyone argues about the greatest of all time, but it changes generationally. I absolutely do not want to hear someone tell me about how good Oscar Robertson is. You didn't watch him play. You're full of shit. You know what I mean? So with that in mind, you cannot tell me, look, I'm 37 years old. I've watched a lot of basketball. There are not 5 players who matter to the game of basketball more than Steph Curry in my lifetime. He's clearly top 10 all time. You're grasping at straws if you argue it. Him and LeBron James are the only players who matter since Kobe Bryant. In that previous generation, it's Kobe and Duncan. Before that, it's Michael Jordan. Before that, and Hakeem maybe. Before that, it's Magic and Bird. We're at 8 right there. And then you can bring up like Kareem and maybe Bill Russell or stuff like that. Like, there are only a handful of players who matter in the history of the game, and he is undoubtedly in the top 10.
Dude, I'm marveling. You've got that home to a T, brother. That's a great fucking take. I have nothing to add to that outside of it is always fascinating to me that Steph is in the conversation, and I tweeted this earlier, for the top 10 players of all time, despite the fact that he is the same height as Sam Esfandiari. And that is...
That's right. I'm over 6 foot.
I mean, Steph's 6. I mean, right? Like, it's just the fact that he's 6'3", 185 pounds, considered.
I'm not 185 anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. Right. I'm not 185, and I'm 6 feet. Is that he's in that conversation is ridiculous. I mean, you look down the line. Let's name the guys you talked about. Tim Duncan, 7 feet. MJ, Kobe, LeBron, those guys are 3 of the most, if not the most athletic guys in NBA history. Larry Bird, Magic, those guys are enormous. And I think, like, you just talk about Hakeem, 7-footer, right? And I just think that you talk about all these players, and none of these guys look like Steph, man. None of these guys. And there will be another guy. There will never be another guy with that will look like Steph in the top 10, in my opinion. It's crazy.
No. I mean, he's clearly the best guard of all time. Anyone who's better than him is a wing or a big.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's crazy. At some point, there's going to be some 6'1", like, freak who, you know, shoots 48% from 40 feet out, you know, in 20 years. And you and I are going to be like the old men who's like, Steph used to do that. You know?
Steph started that. guy has a career in the NBA because of Steph. Okay. It might be canon.
I mean, who knows? Like, that's actually probably the best selling part of Steph. Like, old guys, like, can't, like, truly understand what he does. They're like, I had a teammate who could do that. It's like, no, you didn't, dude. Yeah. You
know, like, that's the thing. But anyway, we keep moving. Let's get Kareem up here.
What is up? Listen, let me just say this. I had a crappy week this week. So it was just so great for them to close it out at home. It was beautiful. I'm glad they got off to that hot start and that Stephen finally got some type of recognition. If anything, always coming back to the fan base, just we appreciate him and knows what he brings to the table all the time. So there will always be love for Stephen Curry and his greatness within the fan base. And at some point down the line, we hope the whole world actually sees that and can embrace that, even if he is 6'3", okay? That's taller than me, that's for darn sure. But anyway, but I just want to ask this question because, Sam, I think I saw you tweet this out just like watching Game 6 Clay, but this one is Game 5 Clay go off, how that excites you. But which really gets you more hype? Is it watching Clay go off or having the Stephen Curry flurries pop off? But that's it, guys.
Have a great evening, Kareem. And I hope your next week is better. I'm going to go with Clay, honestly. And I'm going to tell you why. When Clay goes off, that means the team is going off. And there's something intrinsically different about that than anything else. Cause like Clay tends to go off when the ball is moving. There's a reason when Clay's flurries exult with like the most Warriors of Warriors moments.
I also think, and I'm with you, I'm going to go with Clay. And I think part of that is because he's been out for so long. For me, that's what it is. I'm a sentimental dude, man. I'm soft. I see him put this type of performance together, and I'm just like,
you are a team guy.
I am a sad boy. You know, I'm like Wiseman. Me and Big Jim. By the way, did you see Big Jim in the background smiling today? You love to see that.
Western Conference champion James Wiseman.
You love to see that. Good for him, man.
Well, you know how many Western Conference titles LaMelo Ball has?
Okay. All right. Slow. it's so cool to see Clay do this. But I just, you know, I like seeing Big Jim smile. He's always sad. He's always sulking, it looks like. Anyway, let's keep him moving.
Yeah, you're like Looney. You just like setting screens. Diego, what's up, man?
Hey, hello?
Diego, what's up, my guy?
Hey, what's up, everyone? I was actually at the game, so I just want to give a huge shout-out to the crowd. It was super awesome. Guys, thank you for running, you know, the post-game. You know, I don't have much to say. Just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on probably what you think the next focus for the Warriors over the next 5 days should be. And again, thanks for everything y'all do.
Diego, appreciate you. I mean, the cliff notes of it is get healthy. Steph rolled his ankle. He played through it. He was clearly limited. Otto's out. I can't remember the last time Andre Iguodala played a game. You know, GP2's fighting through that injury he got in the Memphis series. Boston is a better team than Dallas. So, like, in general, I don't think the Warriors can't beat them, and we can talk about it. But, like, get healthy. You're going to need your bodies. They're probably not a team you can have half your rotation out against.
No. Friend of the show, Diego, by the way. Good dude.
We saw Otto and Andre and GP all in the street clothes. That's their three best bench players outside of Jordan Poole on the bench, not playing tonight. So get those guys back, and I think I'm pretty confident the Warriors winning that series, but I don't think it's going to be like a 5-game series. So, but anyway, we'll get into it on Sunday.
Before we get into it, like, my only take is it's a wing series. So you need your wing guys. Yeah, you need Andre to get healthy this round. You need Otto healthy. If you can get GP2, that'd be amazing. Obviously, you want him, but like, I don't know if it's possible. Boston is a wing heavy, versatile team. It's just going to be that kind of series.
I have a take. I think Andrew Wiggins is going to completely lock up Jason Tatum. After going through Luka Doncic, I think the Warriors are going to struggle to score, but Andrew Wiggins just went through Luka Doncic, and I think it's preparing pretty well for Jason Tatum.
Can we throw it out there that Luka is a better offensive player than Tatum? Like, I don't think that's a hot take.
It's not even close. No, it's not even close. Absolutely.
Tatum's a phenomenal defender, by the way.
That's the difference.
Unlike Luka, the Warriors will not be able to pick on Tatum. But,
I don't know who they can pick on, to be honest. That's the problem.
Yeah, it might be an ugly series. It might be, but it is what it is. It's finals.
It's the finals. Yeah, exactly. That's why you have Steph Curry. That's why you got the best player in the series.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's get Mick up here. Mick, what's up, man?
What's up? What's up, my brothers? Really, really been good night for us. Moses Moody, that 8-point swing, hells yeah. I was laughing at the fact that Belly had this like dagger three, and I'm just like, yo, this guy, like everyone was like crapping on him for the most part of the season, and then he shows up like off the bench just contributing. But yeah, one last question would be, I guess, like, who would you pick, James Michael McAdoo or JTA? And
brother.
I'll talk to you guys on next week. Have
incredible.
I gotta go with my guy JTA.
I love the goons. I love the goons. You know what, you don't like JMM? Come on.
I do, but I'm always going to have a soft spot for JTA.
Just
because I think he's still good. I recognize he's not perfect, and I know he shouldn't play in every rotation series, but, like,
Sam, you don't got to sell it. JTA is, like, 20 times better than Jason Michael McAdoo. I'm just fucking around. He's like, Jason Michael McAdoo is awful, man. Legitimately awful.
Yeah, that was a heat check that didn't work out. Anyway.
He was a lottery guy coming into the NBA, though. Like, he was a top prospect. JTA was never that.
Let's get to Ty. Ty, what's up, man?
Yo, yo. Good game. Glad motherfuckers was able to finish this out. I know Steph's ankle gonna be going crazy tonight. It's been an impressive run because, injuries have been, I think, unfairly, pinned to the Warriors kind of like run, this dynasty run, because I think injuries is important in every single playoff run. But to be able to close this out with no Otto, no GP2, no Andre, I think is huge. The more I think about it, the less worried I am about either one of these Eastern Conference teams. Neither one of them can dribble. Wiggins is going to put Tatum on Wiggins Island, and it's going to be fun times with the agenda when Steph cooks the Celtics defense because they don't have the foot speed. Grant Williams can guard Giannis, but not Steph. Steph better.
When Ty is confident, that makes me confident. I don't really ever – Ty's called an all season. He's rarely been wrong. So I'm happy.
I do think – I mean, I'm really excited to get into the Boston stuff. I think it's going to just be a different type of series.
Totally different. Not like this. Hey, by the way, Sam, breaking news. Steph Curry, unanimous Western Finals – Western Conference Finals MVP.
Oh, what, unanimous?
Unanimous. Our friend of the show, Marcus Thompson, had a vote. So also Vincent Goodwill, definitely not friend of the show, had a vote. So
MT whipped the vote.
MT whipped the vote. MT had a vote.
MT whipped the vote in there. MT got in the voters' room and said, "We're not leaving here without the unanimous." I mean, this is some peak. You know, it's like MT's in there like Nancy Pelosi, making sure everyone's in line. You know, he's got them all down. He's, you know, I expect nothing less from our guy.
Yeah.
Impressive. Impressive stuff, MT.
By the way, Reggie Miller also had a vote, and Reggie Miller was selling for, like, Andrew Wiggins on TV. So it's always funny to see, you know, what people actually do versus what they say. Interesting. Yeah.
All right, let's get to our guy, Larry. Larry, how you doing, man? I know Larry.
Oh, no.
I know Larry's not going to do this to us.
No, Larry's not going to do that to you.
Larry. There we go.
Appreciate it, sir. How you doing?
It's thank God that mute button lights up red. Okay, so anyway, this is an inspirational win. The only thing I worry about, first of all, Bielica was incredible. You know, he has his limitations, but he played within them. And he gave some very key moments. Moody gave some incredible moments. You could make a case for Looney as the MVP of the series. I'm so happy it ended up with Steph. I'm pretty sure the team would have voted it that way. And now we got 5 days because I think Steph tweaked that ankle because he didn't really play that well after that. Didn't score much. He played more like a decoy. And a lot of, you know, driving floaters. He just wasn't, you know, when he got the ball in the wing, he didn't look really comfortable putting it up. So, you know, just thank God this is all happening. And maybe the sports media entertainment team has figured out how to thread that needle with building and doing the championship. And if they did, it all comes down to Steph Curry. He's the most impressive talent I've seen, and I've been watching basketball since 1966. So that's all I got to say. Thank you guys for being here. I love listening to everybody who comes up and talks, and I think this is one of the most fun things about the Warriors right now.
Wow.
Larry, we appreciate you.
1966. Sam, what were you doing in 1966?
I was negative at least 18 years old.
Oh, my God. I was negative 21, 26 years old. It's almost two lifetimes.
Okay. Wow. Stop going. I get it.
That man has watched a lot of basketball, and for him to say that this is the best, most impressive he's seen from Steph, it means a lot, man.
Yeah, no. I do this thing where I want to really appreciate Steph and everything the Warriors have built, because like objectively I thought about it, I'm like, what are the Warriors after Steph Curry? You know, like what if they're the Miami Heat? And the Miami Heat have been to the finals, they've been to multiple conference finals. I think we'd all acknowledge they've been successful, but they haven't found that guy. You know, that could be the Warriors post Steph Curry. But you know, you want to appreciate what you have when you have it in some ways, because it's just there's a certain amount of luck that goes into like finding a player of that caliber, you know, like there's no amount of like, you know, there's only a couple of them every generation.
Yeah. I mean, shit, every couple of generations, there's one of them. Probably it's LeBron and Steph of this generation. It's what we've got.
And like, you know, and the next one is like Giannis.
KD, like maybe Luka, you know, like stuff like that. You know, it's like you don't run into that many guys who can do that. So
is it friend of the show, Kevin, by the way?
It's always friend of the show, Kevin.
Yeah, it's friend of the show, Kevin. Yeah.
All right, let's get SFA drummer up here.
Hey, here we go.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's up, brother? You're in the Texas area, right?
Yeah.
Were you at the game? Or not at the game tonight, but how's it down there for those guys?
Well, you know, I'm in Houston, so, you know, that's rocket time, but we already own real estate here. So, you know, I didn't know that is. But I'm just happy that the Warriors made it back, man. Like, you know, if I would have told my 10-year-old self that, you know, you wouldn't have to suffer watching Larry Hughes and Chaparkapa and Troy Murphy and Brian Cardinal. And when you get in your 30s, Warriors going to be winning championships. I wouldn't know what to say with myself. But, you know, and then also, you know, San Francisco teams, we've eliminated Dallas and sent them home twice in a span of like 5 months. You absolutely love to see it. But, you know, we're back. Let's get this ring and let's get Steph Curry this finals MVP. Steph better.
I love it, SFV drummer. I love it. The backhanded shade at the cat. I forgot about that. Hasn't been as positive in Ninerland recently, but
yeah, all right.
Anything you know, let's play the greatest hits. They'll always have the beatdown of the Cowboys.
yeah, it's a great call. By the way, I want to point something out. It just popped in my head. Very cool, Sam, to see Aisha Curry at the game. I feel like we haven't seen much of Aisha this season for whatever reason. I don't speculate. I just am happy to see that she's at the game and she's smiling and, you know, all the kids are there. So I thought that was really cool, man. I'm happy for her and Steph. And
Shout out to Cannon.
You remember when this run first started, Riley was like, whatever, 4 years old. And now she's like tall. It's like insane. It's like, wow, what is going on,
dude? When the run started, Riley was like a cute little 2-year-old, and now she's like, I don't know,
right,
middle school or something like that. And like two of the other kids weren't even born, like Ryan and Cannon weren't even born. So that, if nothing else, that should put into perspective how long it's gone. Like, he went from 1 to 3 kids. That's all he knew to know.
That is insane. That is it. And Steph Curry, always a shooter. Always a shooter. Relax. Let's keep it moving.
All right, Archie, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just elated for, you know, the Warriors to get back where we are. Just a couple points, quick ones. You know, I just want to give flowers really to Looney and Wiggins for the entire series. And, you know, we talked about Wiggins. Sam, you said that you felt like Poole was like that. Like the second portion of what the Warriors are doing. I think for Wiggins, like, he was that reclamation project that Kerr and the,
I like that.
Everybody wanted it. So to see him do what he's been doing specifically in the playoffs has been amazing. I think lastly, specifically with Curry, when he rolled his ankle early, when they were kind of showing a replay, the one thing that I was thinking about was, it was clear to me that he was really setting the tone on both ends. And I think he was just kind of like overplaying a little bit, but it really sets like the foundation. This infectious energy that's tangible. It's not like the media Kool-Aid leadership that they kind of put on CP3
right
here all the time. So for him to do that and to kind of watch, you know, Looney really assert himself early, Draymond being very, very, you know, aggressive, Clay getting off to a hot start, it really just bleeds down to the roster. And it's not like it's not to say that they need Curry, but it's like you'll never, especially with this unit, the big three that we have with Clay, Curry and Dre, I don't know if we'll ever see a number three that are a perfect match for each other, that can then transfer that energy to everybody else on the roster. And I think of all the players, as much as I love Poole, I love Curry, I love everybody, I think seeing it really manifest in Wiggins is just like a huge thing. Like, if we win this whole thing, it's something that we're going to talk about for a long time, because it's like Wiggins was like the forgotten guy. And for him to
be, I like that,
guarding Luka 90 feet, you know what I mean? It's the craziest thing to see and still give him buckets in the end.
Archie, I appreciate that call. I like that. I like it because
he's right. And maybe we didn't give enough due credit, but like Poole is definitely an example of like era two of the Warriors with development, but so is Wiggins. Wiggins is an example of this organization being able to kind of, you know, reclaim players and kind of bring the best out of them. And yeah, he's right. He's dead on. Grant, what's up, man?
Yo, calling in from New York City. Just wanted to say, love Light Years. Love the diversity of followers. I've saved up some notes for what I wanted to say because I've been at the call in for a while. The analogy you had a couple weeks or a couple games back about Brady with Curry just being super great at executing. That's how I feel about you and Andy's podcasters. I feel like you guys have grown up. I
appreciate that.
I also think that, like, I just feel really great right now as a Warrior fan. I think that this run, a lot of what you've been saying just solidifies us as sort of a marquee franchise. It solidifies Steph as, like, yeah, oh, yeah, he had the five-year run. But, like, no, he is a walking window. Like, you see a lot of these teams that, like, the Bucks, if they can win a championship, then 1 year they're out in the, you know, in the second round of next year. Like, I think that Steph is like Van Gogh. We're not going to appreciate him until he's gone. In the era where we had, like, a really dramatic shift in team building, the fact that he stayed at one team and had continued success is really going to age well. I think it really will. And I think you guys have been hinting at this a little bit. I listen to your pause a lot. A little KD slander, you know, like, the craziest thing, and Lo was talking about this on his last podcast, you know, he agrees to the sign and trade with D'Lo, which he didn't have to do. First round pick, protected top 20. The Warriors suck the next year. It's a second round pick in 2025. That becomes D'Lo, that becomes Wiggins and Kuminga. And you think KD doesn't think about that when he sees Wiggins balling out against Luka while he's at home? No, man. Like, Steph, like, you look at him next to his peers, Chris Paul, Westbrook, Harden, Durant, he kind of ruined all those dudes' careers, which is very Jordan-like. Just love where we're at. I thought we were going to be done as, you know, at this peak, and Steph Curry proved us wrong. Steph better.
That's fucking art.
That's just art.
I appreciate that. And, you know, sometimes I forget about the fact that KD approved the D'Lo trade. KD, come home. Always a friend of the Bay. Kevin, come back. No.
Oh, my guy. You know.
Let's get Ron up here. We got a couple more, and then we're going to call it a night. Ron Dizzle, my man.
Hey, yo, guys. First time, long time. I was at the game tonight. I was lucky enough to go. For some reason, God let me go with the courtside lounges. I don't know if you guys ever been there before, but you get like a bartender.
The billionaire bunkers.
And you get like chicken nuggets and sushi all up the yin-yang. But two things I just want to say. One, I ran into the legend J-Ram in the hallway, so I knew we were going to win tonight. And number two, Luca. He looks so crazy, like, up close and personal. If you ever get to see him play live, like, man, he's going to be a star. But guess what? Steph better. We're back. 6 out of 8. I'm pretty lit right now because the bartender kept getting me drinks. And I just want to say I love you guys. Hey, shout out to the Light Years fam and everyone in the chat. Thank you, guys.
Ron, appreciate you. Oh,
undefeated list of callers tonight. Jeez,
I can get J-Ram on here to.
I got a list of questions for him now.
J-Ram popping champagne with 30 right now. Let him live. Let him live.
We're gonna end tonight with, you know, we gotta bring the closer in. This is you know, it's just like Mariano Rivera right here.
Yeah, man, I don't need J-Ram. He can go live with Mike Brown and the Kings and Vivek. I don't need anything with J-Ram, man. Done with that guy. But hey, at least he showed up for us, right? No, but the thing is here, you know, Curry is just like, he's Midas, man. Everything he touches turns to gold. Man, he fixed a franchise that was in complete shambles, laughing stock of the league. I was getting lower level seats for like $25 a seat.
Yeah, good luck doing that today.
It's just, oh my God, I can't believe it. And they've made an award for the Western Conference. It's bullshit. It's named after someone in the Midwest. It should be the Stephen Curry Award. And that's what we should all lobby for. No one cares about Oscar Robertson. He's not a top 10 guy. He got these crazy inflated stats in a 10 to 12 team league. It's just preposterous. That guy, you know, top 20, drop him out. Steph, that should be named after him. We're going to go to the finals. We're going to smoke the Boston Celtics. Those guys are awful on the defensive boards, right? They let Miami come in and just grab offensive board after offensive board for second chance points. We're going to murder them on that. We're going to play good defense on them, and we're going to take this in five. Thanks, guys.
McWalters, I appreciate you. Andy Lou, I appreciate you.
Wow, look at that. Sentimental like Klay Thompson. You know what? Let's end it here. Samus Fendiari, Andy Lou. You know who's the only duo better than Steph and Draymond? It's the Light Years boys, baby. We'll be back on Sunday.